You're listening to Comedy Central.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Bakari Sellers, welcome to the Daily Social Distancing Show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an awesome opportunity.
I like how your beard has come in. It's a very majestic, professorial. You've got like the full Corona beard going on.
This is Denzel-ish. That's what I like to call it.
let's jump straight into talking about your book, which unfortunately feels more timely than ever. You've written a story that is a memoir of your life. But in many ways, it feels like it's also the story of America as well. My Vanishing Country. Tell me what the title of the book means and if you really feel that way about America.
Well, sure. I mean, my life has been bookended by tragedy. I say that with a heavy heart. From the Orangeburg Massacre and my father being shot in 1968 to the Charleston Massacre. And throughout the book, we talk about different traumas and different heartaches and different systems of oppression that people of color have to live through, that I have lived through. And so now with coronavirus and it ripping the Band-Aid off the healthcare disparities we have, I'm able to parallel that with growing up in a community where we don't have clean water, where we don't have a hospital, where we live in a food desert. And then you layer that with the sad case of Ahmaud Arbery. And you just talk about the perpetual trauma that people of color, particularly Black men, have to live through. And so My Vanishing Country, it means a few things. We give the word country some meaning, being a boy from the dirt roads of the South. But even more importantly, those truths that we hold to be something that all Americans can realize seem to be fleeting, especially for poor people, immigrants, and people of color in this country.
Yeah. You would think that people would just go, yes, this is America's history, and these are some of the effects, the systemic problems that still affect Black people today. And yet it seems like people disagree on it more than ever. If somebody is saying to you in good faith, really, hey, Bakari, I don't understand why Black people seem to think things are bad in America when they've gotten so much better, how do you respond to that person if indeed genuinely they don't see it and they're trying to see it?
Well, this is probably the most difficult conversation that this country has to have. It's a conversation of race. And take, for example, the Ahmaud Arbery case. This is not a Trump era phenomenon. This is not something that just started to happen with the racism that emanates from the White House. Instead, I think about Medgar Evers. I think about Emmett Till. I think about Jimmie Lee Jackson. I think about the four little girls in the Birmingham church. And so when you think about the totality of these circumstances, you realize that we've made a lot of progress, but we still haven't reached that quote unquote mountaintop. We have not made it there. One of the funny things that people like to bring up is, oh, my God, we had Barack Obama elected president. You guys have made it. And that's not the case. When you talk about these layers, I'm not concerned about somebody calling me nigger. I'm not. I'm more concerned about the systemic levels of oppression that people of color live in today, a broken healthcare system, a broken environmental justice system, a broken criminal justice system, a broken educational justice system, because in this country you're punished because of the zip code you're born into. And all of these pressures they just rest on you and they build your anxiety. And now we have Corona and now we have these never ending traumas. It seems like you're just trying to breathe sometimes.
What do you think it says about America that so many people used the video of Ahmaud Arbery in that empty house, the house that was being constructed, as a justification for his death, or his killing, rather, I should say?
Ahmaud Arbery did something that people do all the time. Hell, me and my wife do it. He walked into an empty home. He was looking around an empty home. That's not a crime that requires the death penalty. But even more importantly, those two men who were on that good old-fashioned South Georgia father-son lynching, they looked at him as less than human. And that's the hard part for me in raising twins, in raising a 14-year-old daughter, and I have 16-month-old twins, teaching them that they can be a doctor, that they can be a lawyer, that they can be the host of The Daily Show, but also telling them one day that, you know, they have to be cautious about the way they interact, because there's a segment of this public that doesn't believe that they're human and doesn't want right. to give them that dignity.
And that's something that I was intrigued to read and understand from your point of view, because I wondered, how do you talk to your kids and say to them, you can be anything you want to be, you do have these opportunities, but at the same time, there are certain things that are going to hold you back, and there are going to be certain things to be afraid of. Like, which path do you take as a parent? Do you say to your kids, hey, if you see the police, just try and be as calm as possible, try not to engage, which talk do you have with them? Because some people go like, you know your rights, you fight for your rights. Others say like, hey man, now's not the time. Now's not the time to fight about your rights. Which attitude have you taken as a parent?
I mean, I come from, and one of the themes that I talk about in the book is I'm a child of the civil rights movement. My father was a member of SNCC. He was shot February 8th, 1968 by law enforcement protesting in the Orangeburg massacre. And so my father always taught us growing up, I think having to do with his interactions with law enforcement, that you should always, you never stop in a dark area. You always drive to the next exit. You always go to a well-lit area. We'll fight those battles in court. For me, with these twins now, my job is to hopefully make sure they have a better America than the one that I inherited. It's the same dream my father had. The trouble that I have, and the reason that I wrote My Vanishing Country, I talk about it in one of the latter chapters, is, you know, almost five years ago, I was standing in front of a church, Mother Emmanuel. Clemente Pinckney was a friend of mine. He actually let Dylann Roof into his church. They had a full hour of Bible study, and then Dylann Roof killed 9 people because of the color of their skin. I was standing in front of that church about a week later with my father, and tears were rolling down my face as I was explaining to the country that we were having many of the same shared experiences. I was 30 and he was 70. And so for my twins, what I have to do, what we have to do, what everybody watching has to do, is continue to work to make sure that they inherit a better country than the one that I did. And right now that's tough. Those conversations are tough because as their eyes sparkle, you do know that racism is real. Systems of injustice are real. Not getting the benefit of their humanity is real. And I just don't want them to be on the front of a T-shirt, or us to have to wear another hoodie to march for them, or us to have to, you know, get Arizona iced tea and Skittles, or us to have to jog 2 miles for them. You know, I'm living for all of those people whose lives were cut short, so one day my children can be free.
How do you feel about the discussion in and around sharing these videos online? Because there's clearly a rift. Some people think these videos should never be shared because all they do is further the almost joy of lynching that white supremacists may engage in seeing the videos. It furthers that narrative. Others would say, no, without the videos, then oftentimes there is no justice. And it feels like an argument where nobody's wrong, but an argument that people are having nonetheless. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think we have to show those videos. I mean, there are a couple of things. First, let's just deal with the Arbery case, because if we did not see that video, see, they saw the video. It took 73 days for the arrest, not because of the video, but because we saw the video. The American public saw the video. And so I think that that's necessary. I remember the Walter Scott case, the young man in Charleston, South Carolina, who was shot in the back. But for that young man who was at the barbershop filming that incident, there would have been no arrest. And so we have to make sure we do that. But it again, of that parallel with the civil rights movement, there's one glaring image that people remember. It's the picture of Emmett Till, who allegedly whistled at a white woman. And I challenge for those individuals who haven't seen that picture to go Google it. His face is beaten, and he literally has no bones left in his body. And that picture, that image, before images could go viral, it stimulated a whole generation. And so I think those images are necessary, not necessarily for justice, but just so that we can have transparency and, to be completely honest, to make white folk uncomfortable, because we have to be uncomfortable to have this discussion. And unless white people literally see these injustices, sometimes there is a connection that they don't really happen, and they do.
Bakari, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations on an amazing book, and hopefully we'll have you back on the show again soon. Thank you so much, my dude. Have a good one.
Thank you.
The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and the Comedy Central app. Watch full episodes and videos at thedailyshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And subscribe to The Daily Show on YouTube for exclusive content and more.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.